So this is a Shabbat of remembrance. A couple of weeks ago, we celebrated the Shabbat called Shabbat Shekalim, on which, by Jewish tradition, Jews paid their half shekel tax to support the worship in the sanctuary. This is the Shabbat on which we remember that there was somebody by the name of Haman. In 2 weeks, it'll be Shabbat HaChodesh, before the month of Nisan, in which we have Pesach, and then after that, Shabbat HaGadol, which says to us that Pesach is coming in the next week. In each parasha, there is a reading that is attached to that parasha, a special reading. And this week has the following reading. Remember what Amalek did to you on your journey after you left Egypt. How undeterred by the fear of God, he surprised you while you were on the march. When you were famished and you were weary, he cut you down with all the stragglers in the rear. Therefore, where the Lord your God grants you safety from all your enemies around you, in the land that your Lord your God is going to give you as your hereditary portion, you shall blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. Do not forget. As you know, according to this commandment, we are supposed to blot out the name of Amalek's most heinous descendant, and that is Haman, okay? And tomorrow night, we will do that in the Megillah reading. You will, all of you, bring your macaroni and cheese in a box, right? And every time the person whose name shall not be mentioned, okay, is his name is read, you will shake the box, and we will, God willing, never hear the name of Haman. And thus you will fulfill the two commandments. Okay, what are the two commandments? You blot out the name of Haman at the same time. You're going to feed the hungry. But here's the strange thing. We know how to blot out his name, but we've forgotten the first part of the commandment. What's the first part of the commandment? We started out by saying, remember what Amalek did to you. How do you blot out and remember simultaneously? On the surface, it sounds like we're supposed to forget, but we're not supposed to forget. We're supposed to remember to forget. As if forgetting were the key. And if it were the key, why not just forget about it altogether? No one would remember Amalek if it weren't for the Jews. There's no record of Amalek's existence anywhere in history except for in our Bible. It's also very complicated. You are commanded to remember to forget. And all this may not be so very important. I mean, what do we really care, right? Except for, this is not the only time that we are commanded to remember. The whole notion of memory continuously arises in Judaism. The Torah commands that we remember the Sabbath day in order to keep it holy. Zachor et Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho. And next month for Pesach, just before the meal of the Seder, each of us is going to read these words. In every generation, it is incumbent upon each person to see him or herself as if she or he came out of Egypt, as it says, you shall explain to your child on that day because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. Not your ancestors alone did the Holy One, blessed be God, redeem, but we too, God redeemed with them. It's a strange idea. And yet there's a couple of easy explanations. My suspicion is you know them. The first easy explanation is all of our souls were in Egypt. We all of us stood in Egypt. We all of us left together. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem lifnei Adonai Elohecham. You, all of you, stand today before the Lord your God, you and the drawers of wood, and not only the souls that are here today, but all the souls yet to be. And so Judaism says there is an immortality, and not only an immortality, but a resurrection, and not only a resurrection, but a gilgul nefashot, a transmigration of souls. And say, we're all there, you say. And so, of course, I could say, but Seitim Mitzrayim, because if I came out of Egypt, because in fact, my soul was there. So maybe it is because of what the Lord did for me. But there's another explanation. You could note with Rabbi Naftali Tzvi Judah Berlin, a 19th century Lithuanian Jew, that this statement closes out, the statement that I just read, closes out the historical section of the Haggadah. You will, all of you, I hope, read all these different stories about how we were slaves in Egypt. And then we will get to this section that is incumbent upon us that we came out of Egypt. And Rabbi Naftali Tzvi Judah Berlin says, why is it even there? It's there because it's the point of the whole telling of the story. We came out of Egypt, and we are commanded to say that we came out of Egypt. And so right before we praise God with the Psalms of the Hallel, which is what immediately follows these words, we say, God did this for me. Because I can't recite Hallel unless I'm thanking God for what God did for me. Not for my ancestors. If it's for my ancestors, let them praise. But if I'm going to praise God, it has to be for a miracle that was done for me. And so he would say, of course, it was done for us. And therefore, we can say the Psalms. Two more things that you can add to this idea. One is, remember the statement that we are seeing ourselves as if each one of us came out of Egypt. And Maimonides, chutzpah dictat, he was, changes the formulation of the Haggadah. Maimonides doesn't say in his code of law, okay, lirot et atzmi ki'ilu ani yetzati mimitzrayim, as if I came out of Egypt, we're supposed to show ourselves, he says. Not lirot, but laharot. Each person must show himself to others, not see himself, but demonstrate that he, she came out of Egypt. Maimonides changes the intention. In other words, comport yourself as though you had come out of Egypt. Imagine that you were a slave. Not that you were, he would say. But imagine that you were a slave and behave as someone who had been freed. Well, that works great for Reformed Jews. We love that statement. We love the commandment that we know the soul of the stranger, for we were strangers in the land of Egypt. Why? Because we're very big on tzedakah. We're very big on social justice. We're very big on remembering that we were once slaves. We know what it means to suffer, and therefore we act accordingly. And so, this is a great commandment for Reformed Jews. And yet, it's not good enough. And so, let me go back. What does it mean to remember? It's not good enough, I assert, because you and I physically, in these bodies that we now inhabit, we're not in Egypt. And yet we're saying, I was a slave in Egypt. What does it mean to remember? You all know the name Plato, the Greek philosopher, who believed that when we learn, we're not really learning something new. What we're learning is what was already in our soul. And so we're really actually not learning. We're being reminded of what we already knew. It was already there. And while I don't agree with this Platonic idea, it does lead us in an interesting and fruitful direction. You see, not all learning comes from personal experience. There's something called cultural learning. How did I know from the age of 5 that I would go to graduate school? I remember it very clearly. It had to one day be Dr. Mark Levin. It's a cultural learning. It's embedded in who we are as a people. It's transmitted, the love of learning is transmitted by speech, by attitude, by the assumptions of the people around us, by vocabulary. It's what we mean when we say, she learned it with her mother's milk. What is that? It's what we imbibed unintentionally. It just is part of who we are. Cultural learning means that most Jews I know, I think this is true, feel guilty when they eat pork. Why? Most Jews I know have eaten pork their entire lives. But the culture says we shouldn't, and therefore we're aware of it. To be more serious, though, cultural learning means that Jews are responsible for one another. And we have this sense that somehow a Jew anywhere in the world, some pintle yid in Romania who's a grandmother, is somehow my responsibility, that I need to give tzedakah to some organization that I never hardly heard of. But they're my responsibility. I remember how shocked I was to learn that the Maronite Christians in northern Israel and southern Lebanon were not being supported by Christians all over the world when they were suddenly part of the civil war in Lebanon. Why don't the Christians come to their aid? I asked a couple of Christians and they said, "What are you talking about? I'm not responsible for those people." "But they're Christians." "So what?" Meant nothing. Our culture gives us these values which we tie to an event known as the Exodus from Egypt. Cultural learning means that Israel matters to us, and people in Ekvelt, otherwise known as Kansas City, schlep all the way to Israel in order to be part of their people. It's a cultural learning. Cultural learning carries out norms. A cultural learning is associated with an event, or it's associated with an action. But a cultural learning always carries with it a value. At Purim, we are commanded this thing that no one in their right mind could possibly do. At Purim, we're commanded to blot out our enemies, the very people that we would never remember. We're commanded to do that because it's a cultural norm. And if we forget about it, the norm is at peril. We are doing contradictory things in order to remember that once there was an enemy named Haman, and we triumphed, and that means something to us. And at Pesach, we learn to live as if you suffered slavery. You were a slave in Egypt. You learn to live that way. And there is this cornucopia of blessings. At one end, we learn about tzedakah. We learn about relating to other Jews. We learn about the land of Israel. But what is it at the very beginning? At the top of the horn? It is this notion. I was a slave in Egypt. There's all kinds of blessings and norms that comes out of that. It's not a literal memory that we are commanded to preserve. It's a cultural imperative. It is that which we drank in when we were little children and we preserve to this day. What do we mean by remember? What we mean is, remember who you are. Remember where you came from. Recite it to one another. Believe it. Never forget. Because without that, you are a small boat on a large and violent sea that you will never comprehend. Cultural norms, like you were a slave, place a sextant and a star chart in our hands to navigate our way on the vast seas of living as a Jew in an uncomprehending and dangerous world. It's a very simple but complex idea. Remember, never forget. Say it to one another. Recite it to your children. In each generation, each of us is obligated to see ourselves as if we came out of Egypt. There, being a Jew begins.